We are going to be talking about our preparation for the upcoming gospel meeting that we have next month. Looking forward to that. And I think last year, if I'm not mistaken, we went to a format where we have different speakers, two on Sunday, and then we'll have a different speaker, really Sunday night. Monday is the same speaker, and then Tuesday night and Wednesday night will be the last speaker. And it has been very encouraging to have that particular format instead of just having one individual do the meeting, which is nothing wrong with that. I do those meetings all the time. I'm always thankful for those opportunities. But here at 9th and Main, we have a meeting that's coming up on next month. The Ladies' Day will be on the 19th, and the gospel meeting begins on the 20th through the 23rd. And so we want to encourage everyone to come, and also invite those who may not be members of the Lord's church. We want to invite them as well, but also those who may be members at other congregations locally, whether it is Baines, Brownwood, so forth and so on. So we sent flyers out to those individuals for the purpose of them having an opportunity to come and to be with us. And so on tonight, that's what we're going to be talking about. And so I asked the question, why have a meeting? Why have a meeting? Why do we want to have a gospel meeting? Why do we want to come together and hear God's word, you know, from Sunday all the way to Wednesday? Why do we want to do that? So let's turn to Acts chapter 20. Because the answer is because, number one, it's necessary. Number two, it's beneficial. I'm reminded of what Paul said to the Ephesian elders when he was talking with them. He wasn't going to see them any longer, and so he wanted to encourage them. He wanted to encourage them, and that's one of the reasons why we want to meet. And we want to hear a series of lessons that is designed to encourage us. And so Paul tells the brethren here, these elders, Brother Ryan, if you don't mind, could you lift up your voice and read verse 32 of Acts 20?
Now, brethren, I come unto you, or I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them.
So I love this passage because it tells us something about God's word. And number one, some of the ability of the word of God. God's word is able to build us up, to construct us, if you will, to give us that encouragement that we need in order to continue to fight the good fight of faith, to walk according to the Spirit's teaching, to be the best that we can be as the people of God. And so there is a purpose for us coming together. It's not just so we can fill time. It's not just so we can say that we had a meeting and we had some men come and they preached God's word and they went about their way. No, it's to build us up. It's to encourage us. But also, if you take notice of what takes place in a gospel meeting, we had a little bit of a taste of it just a few minutes ago. Brother Luke, he led us to the throne of God in prayer. So we get to pour out our hearts in prayer. Our brother Freisinger, he led us in singing. We get to sing to our God. And we get to do that, what? Together. And so when you think about a meeting, and I'm reminded of the meetings of the days of old. I've never been part of one. The longest meeting I've ever been part of, if I remember, 10 days. 10 days. Now, that was amazing, but it was in a different country. It was in South America. It wasn't here. But they used to have meetings here, Brother Royce, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, sometimes a month at a time. That's a long time to be meeting every night to come hear God's word. But they baptized a lot of people. A lot of people came to the Lord because of it. But, you know, we have 3-4 days of coming together, hearing God's word, encouraging one another, singing with one another, extolling our God, helping one another, have an opportunity to fellowship with each other. That's why we're coming together. So it's not just to hear God's word, but it is to sing to our God, it's to pray to him, to encourage each other. And so look at Jude 20. It's for us. I shared this with the young men this morning because in Jude 20, Luke, if you don't mind, I want you to read Luke 20, Luke Motherwell, that is. Jude 20, read that verse real quick. And I explained to them that phrase, building yourselves up. It's the idea of a building of a house, constructive of a house, and gave them the idea of when I was a kid, mom bought us building blocks, and we used to build things out of those building blocks all the time. And I asked them, did y'all get any building blocks when y'all was younger? Yeah, they loved playing with those building blocks. You know, that's what we're doing. We're building up each other. It's a building block on top of a building block. Members of the Lord's church, that's what we're doing. We're building each other up so we can build on top of each other, but we're also building on the word of God. That's why we're here, and that's why we're very particular on who comes. Very, we decide who's coming because we want to make sure that whoever's coming, they're going to be able to do what we need them to do, and that's preach God's word. And so we have Brother Adam Orr, he's going to be preaching. We have Brother Alejandro Vizquez, he's going to be preaching. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. And then Brother Bill Spiro, he's going to be preaching. And they're going to be bringing lessons that I know for a fact that's going to be building us up, but hopefully it'll build us up to a point where we can build up each other. That's really why we're here. That's why we're in the church, so we can encourage each other. It's a tough world out here, but it's always been a tough world, brethren. But that's why we're here for each other. And so here we find Jude, and he says, but beloved, building yourselves up, notice, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The idea there is praying according to the Spirit's teaching. Making sure that we pray according to what God's word says. And so we want to build up each other. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 10. Brother Leon, if you don't mind, read 2 Corinthians 13, verse 10. This is a very beautiful passage. And this particular passage actually demonstrates why the apostleship was created, if you will. Why it was formed. Why was it formed? What does the Bible say? The apostleship was actually formed, given authority, if you will, for the building up of the congregation, not for their destruction. That's why when we're preaching God's word, when we're teaching the word of God, it's for the purpose of building you up, not tearing you down. That's why when ministers get up and they're just beating up on the congregation, that's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. As a matter of fact, raise your hand if you like when people beat you up all the time. Nobody. But every now and then we need someone that's going to tell it to us and say, you know what, I know this is going to hurt you a little bit, but that's for your building up, not for your destruction. That's why we got men coming in. That's why we have sisters coming in. Sister Orr's coming in. Sister Spiro is also going to help out a little bit. Yes, sir. Oh, before you make a comment, of course, y'all know y'all can comment. Y'all can comment. Yes. That's a building up. That's a building up. Anyone else? Anyone else? So I added this one today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. Dietrich, I want you to read that. And then let me have Grant, I want you to read 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 1.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints.
All right, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 1. Now, if you notice, in both of those passages, we see that different congregations were receiving the same message, the same message. It's going to be a blessing to hear these men preach. Brother Orr was here last year. I think he preached for us Tuesday and Wednesday night, Ryan, if I'm not mistaken. And we asked him, can you come preach Sunday morning? He just does a wonderful job. The applications that he made, the way that he presents the lesson. He's going to be preaching the same gospel that we preach, that we hear every Lord's Day, every Wednesday night. He's going to preach the same gospel, but it's just a beautiful blessing to hear it come from someone else at times. Really, I truly believe because we have so many ministers here, it doesn't get dull. Can you imagine hearing the same guy every week? Week in, week out. Y'all probably say, Bonner, you got to roll, man. You got to go. We're tired of hearing you. Y'all smile. It's all right. But we get to hear different men from time to time. And every now and then we have these different men come in and they're saying the same thing, yet they're using their experiences, the way that they present it, their inflection is different. And we're like, you know what? I appreciate the way that you said that. And then they'll probably hear, you know what? We haven't heard nothing like that in a long time. You know, we always hear that when you go to different places. But truth be told, you're just hearing it from a different angle. Well, Paul, he preached in different places. Other disciples, other apostles preached in different places. And they're hearing the same message, the same message. Let me have Jack. I want you to read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And the other Jack back there, I want you to read 1 Corinthians 14, 23 through 25. So we're going to have Jack and Jack. You read first. First, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So this would be the last reason under this particular point why I have a meeting. Because we want to invite. Go ahead.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen. Great job. Jack, I want you to read yours. 1 Corinthians 14, 23 through 25. All right, great. So in Matthew 28, Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and do what? What did he say? Oh, I'm sorry, maybe I gave you the wrong beginning. What did he say? Matthew 28, 18, he said what? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Do what? Go and make disciples. That's right. Go, meaning go invite. Well, that's what we want y'all to do this week, next week, the week after, until the gospel meeting begins, and even during the gospel meeting. Take a flyer out, invite, call someone else, call someone on the phone, send them a text message, send them a picture of the invitation, invite, go into all the world, meaning go into San Angelo and say, hey, we're having a gospel meeting. We're having a series of lessons, and these lessons are going to be very beneficial. They're going to help you with your family. They're going to help you with your single life. They're going to help you in your married life. They're going to help you make good decisions. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But that 1 Corinthians 14 is really where I want to focus in on for a few seconds. In verse number 23 to verse number 25, the context is dealing with New Testament worship. The assembling of the saints, the whole congregation coming together in one place. But then there's an element that's actually added there, and an unbeliever comes in, and he's sitting in the midst of the congregation, Brother Royce, and he's hearing the word of God. And the Bible says, the New King James render, and the secrets of his hearts are being revealed, meaning that the word of God is being preached, and this man is like, wow, you know, this is actually helping me out. And he falls down before God and says, God is in this place. Well, you know, when God's word is being preached, not only should the Christian be helped, but the non-Christian should be helped as well. What are y'all's thoughts on that? Should the non-Christian be helped when the gospel is being preached, when the word of God is being preached? Should they be helped? Yes or no? Yeah. So shouldn't that give us a little bit of incentive to invite those who are members of our family that may not know Jesus Christ for the pardon of their sins, or perhaps going through a difficult time in life and they need a little bit of guidance, some wisdom, some instruction? Perhaps they come in and they hear God's word, be like, you know what? I haven't heard it that way. I appreciate that. And the next thing you know, that opens up the door for us to sit down with them and study God's word with them. Yes, sir, Brother Royce. That's right.
If they get first step, it's as much a part of evangelism as sitting down and talking to somebody. Because if you don't invite them, they don't come, nobody can talk to them.
That's a great point. Yes, sir, Brother Leon. That's right. That's right. Excellent. Excellent. Anyone else? This is our opportunity, friends, brethren. This is our opportunity to invite individuals. And these are some of the lessons that's going to be considered and spoken about. Our theme is going to be, may the Lord give increase, coming forth from Psalm 115, verse number 14. And Brother Orr is going to be speaking on, may the Lord give increase with the heart of Jesus. I already know that's going to be a great lesson. With the heart of Jesus? Yes. Having the heart of Jesus. Now, I haven't thought about this, so I'll go ahead and throw this out here right now. What do you think he might say as it relates to the heart of Jesus? What do you think he might say? I have an idea. What do y'all think? All right, sacrificing, being sacrificial came to Sister Bonner's mind. Anyone else? Loving souls the way that Jesus loved souls. I heard someone back here. Who? All right, well, good, love. Anyone else?
Compassion.
Well, anyone else? All right, loving the church. Yes, ma'am. Being pure. Good. Anyone else? Anyone else?
In all of those, nothing.
What do you mean by that?
Listen to everybody's comments.
Okay.
It's just, it's full of joy and love.
Okay.
And
all right, good. I like that. Good. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Ma'am? Oh, him being a human? Yes, yes. Anyone else?
Having the heart of a servant.
I can almost guarantee you when Brother Orr preaches, some of those things are going to come out in the way that he preaches. Another thing he's going to be preaching on, may the Lord give increase with me and my house. Now, what do you think he's going to say there? You think he's going to challenge the men? Oh, yeah, Brother Orr's going to challenge the men. Yes. You think he's going to challenge the wives? Yes, he's going to challenge the wives. How about the family as a whole? You think he's going to challenge us to be more Christ-like in the home, to spend more time with each other in spiritual matters? Absolutely. What do y'all think? Crickets? Silence? What do y'all think? That's good, Mike. I appreciate that. Anyone else? That's actually a good answer, though. Anyone else? What do you think you're going to hear as it relates to me and my house?
I think we're going to hear some encouragement in those things because it can be rather difficult to maintain that in a family. So hopefully to hear encouragement for those people who are doing those things, and it just feels like it's a losing battle. So we need to be built up in that area.
Good. Yes, Leon. That's good. I'm pretty sure we're going to hear those things. Brother Alejandro is going to be speaking on in Christian living. May the Lord give increase in Christian living. Now, I believe Alejandro is like 20, what, 3, 4-ish? He's a young man. So the format that we have for those who are visiting with us, or maybe this is the first time being with us in this gospel meeting format, we have an older brother who's seasoned, and then we'll have a young gospel preacher in the center, always in the center, and then we'll have another brother who's pretty seasoned that's going to wrap it up. And so Brother Alejandro is going to be the younger preacher, and he's going to be speaking on may the Lord give increase in Christian living. How do you think he's going to approach that? What do you think? Okay. Okay. Inform the standard of what Christian living is. Anyone else? Okay. He's a young man. How do you think he's going to handle that? Yes, ma'am. He's going to have young men, a young man's zeal. Y'all remember last year? Last year, who was the young preacher that we had? John Paul Salazar. He had a lot of fire in him, did he? He had some great points on last year. It was very encouraging talking about the kingdom of God, the church. All right. What else do y'all think that Brother Alejandro is going to be saying as it relates to Christian living?
Probably because of his age, how we live compared to the social media.
Okay. Good. He's going to be very relevant. All right. Very relevant. Anyone else? Anyone else?
I'm concerned that maybe this may be the only person that he's ever heard before. And the only contact that he might have is up to me.
Okay. All right. Good. Appreciate that, Brother Hedick. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes. Say that last part again. All right, that's good. That's good. Now, the second one he's going to be speaking on, which I'm very interested to hear. He's going to be speaking on may the Lord give increase in recognizing the spiritual disease. What do you think the spiritual disease is going to be that he's going to be talking about? Huh?
Worldliness.
Anyone else? Say again. Lack of faith. Complacency. Apathy. Say again. Earthly distractions. That's going to be a great lesson. Y'all need to be there for him. We need to be there for that one. That's going to be a good one. And I truly believe he's probably going to be talking about sin in a general sense, but be very specific in how y'all was saying some things. So he's going to be talking about some of those things. And lastly, we have Brother Bill Spiro. He's going to be talking about, now you put your seatbelts on with these. May the Lord give increase in problem solving among brethren. That's going to be good. Matthew 18. Why is it difficult to solve problems amongst us sometimes? Yes.
Pride.
Anyone else? Say again?
A calloused heart.
Anyone else?
Fear of conflict.
Yes, Jack. Selfish interpretation of scriptures. Man, that's a good conversation piece right there. That's good. Anyone else? Brother Bill and I have talked a while back on this particular lesson, and I failed to mention that we have asked every man to bring a lesson that they have already preached. And the only thing we want you to do, we want you to continue to go over it, so when you come here, it's already mapped out. It's already good to go. It's going to help this congregation, because that's what we're bringing these men in for. We're bringing them in so they can help us be better people. And that's all we ought to be striving to be, is better. Every single day we want to be better. And then lastly, he's going to be talking about may the Lord give increase with our commitment towards God. Commitment towards God. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. All of these lessons are going to fall under the spiritual diet of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Let me have Areola. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2.
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Don't long suffering and teaching.
Convince, rebuke, exhort. The word convince or reprove, it means to correct one's thinking, to correct one's actions. Friends, we're not preaching God's word just so we can fill time. Even on Sunday morning, even right now, we're not just filling time. There are times in our lives, every last one of us, that our thinking is not correct. And we need to be corrected in our thinking. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to have a certain type of knowledge. In the Greek, it's called epignosis. It literally means a correct and precise thinking, knowledge. God wants us to think correctly. God wants us to think precisely. And truth be told, if our interpretation is not correct, a selfish interpretation of the scriptures, which is an excellent way of saying it, then our thinking is not going to be correct. This is why we need people that's going to come in also and help us learn and to correct some of our thinking. Reproving or rebuking, which means to express severe disapproval, to warn. The preacher needs to do that from time to time, to warn the people of God. Hey, this is the way you ought to be living. If not, then there will be destruction. So this morning I was talking to the young men, and we was looking in the book of Jude. And Jude, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave three examples of how God would destroy individuals because of their lack of obedience. Who was in the class, young men? Who was one of them? Gage, go ahead. Who was one of them? You remember? It was the grumblers complaining, but he gave some names. Which was one of them? Kipton, you remember one of them? Sodom and Gomorrah was one group. What was another one? Yes. Balaam. That was another group. What was the last one? Mm-mm. No, you weren't in my class, Leon. Stop. Kipton? Korah? I thought it was Cain. It was Cain. Cain, Balaam, and who? Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's the point. Jude, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was given warning to the people of God that you need to obey, because if not, you're going to end up the way they did. Well, we need that too. We need to hear words like that from time to time. Now, some people look at that as negative preaching. I don't. That builds up. That encourages. Why? It warns me so I don't go in the same direction as they did, end up where they went. That's encouraging. Yes, sir, Brother Chad.
You had Victor read verse 2, but starting 1 through 5, the seriousness of verse 2 pointed out in verse 1, I charge you, I command you.
That's right.
Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, and there's a colon in
that's right.
And you ready in season, out season, convince, rebuke. And he says, why in verse 3? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that time right now.
That's right.
But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, and your afflictions do the work of an evangelist to fulfill your ministry. And then it's right now.
That's right.
It actually started hundreds of years ago, but we're in it right now. It's so bad. It's so bad. We have people that proclaim Christianity and couldn't even tell you that there's books in the Bible. They just see it as a book, or simple things. It just because their preacher or their pastor or their whoever doesn't just listen, teaches what they want to hear. If they don't like it,
excellent comment, Brother Chad, and I appreciate you bringing out those other passages, because that's exactly right, and that's why we got men coming in helping us out, preaching the word. That's not that we don't get it every Sunday and Wednesday, but we need to hear it from someone else. And it just sometimes someone else coming in saying the same thing gives you that spark to want to listen and want to go out and do it even more so. Okay. But if you notice, appreciate that, Brother Chad, you got reprove, rebuke, but then you got the word exhort. God is a God of balance. The word exhort means to comfort or to console. Every now and then we need to be comforted. Every now and then we need to be consoled. The word, the idea is one that comes alongside of you and gives you words that you need to hear. Yes, sir. Excellent. Excellent. Anyone else want to make a comment off of that? Excellent. That's very encouraging words. So I wrote this down here. Our goal as shepherds in this meeting is to develop Christian character through righteous teaching to the glory of God and the saving of the soul. That's why we're having these meetings. I think brethren just have meetings just to be having them sometime, and there's no forethought. There's no invitation. The people are not really encouraged by it. The congregation, they don't really partake in it. There's no investment there. No, brethren, there's a reason why we're doing what we're doing. We're not doing this just to be doing it. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of investment that goes into it. The investment of the individuals putting in the time, the investment of our offerings that we bring in order to bring these people in. I mean, it's not cheap. And so with that being said, we want to make sure that we show up ready for the feast. James.
Going back to how you said that you feel that some people are having meetings. I mean, it's not careful. That's what it becomes. It becomes pretty, we've always done it.
That's a great point. That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Thank you. Anyone else? So let me read that one more time. Our goal as shepherds in this meeting is to develop Christian character through righteous teaching to the glory of God and the saving of our souls. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And brethren, you should expect nothing less. You should expect nothing less. Any comments before we go into this last point or two? Any comments?
And when he first told me, I was like, that's like so far away. But this is a congregation in Tennessee. But they, that's, talk about forethought. That's like a lot. You know, it could be they want to wait till he's a little older and maybe getting them, you know, whatever. I don't know. Or they're already booked up until that far out. But I was just kind of like, wow.
So that happened to me. And it was like 5 years out. I'm like, who does that? And I actually did that meeting, met those elders. Those men were, they was on top of their game. See, it wasn't something that they thought about, you know, a month before and said, you know, we need to have a meeting. No, they thought about it. Sometimes, you about to get me started on a soapbox. I better leave that alone. All right, next point. Next point.
You can even, Pastor, I'm sorry, lay your hands on no man suddenly. You know, these men that you're going to present to a congregation need to be vetted in some kind of way.
Right.
And sometimes the vetting is, you know, they're a good friend of mine. You know, but you want to have more. So if anything had happened in your teaching or life during that 5 years, they would have told you, no, no, we changed our mind. We're going a different direction.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yes, sir, Brother James.
Thank you. sometimes you have to know that there are those out there that they have a better, I'm not going to say a better understanding, but they can word a certain topic better than you might be able to. So you can have people come in, this is what we want you to preach on, and you're bringing them in because you know that they're going to be able to handle the topic better than you would.
That's good. Anyone else? Appreciate that. So, all right. Here's the question. Since we're going to have a meeting, what are y'all going to give us? What can we expect from you? Okay? What can we expect from you? Let me tell you some things that I truly believe that we need from y'all. Number one, we need you to come and attend the meeting with a trembling respect and reception for God's word. Amen? We need you to come with a trembling respect and reception for the word of God. You're coming ready to eat. Now, let's prove this with the Bible. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Where is Isaac? Isaac. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 through 5. And if you're taking notes, put Acts 17, verse 10 through 12 in your notes, because we only have time for this one. But Isaiah 66, verses 1 through 5. This is no new concept. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Isn't that powerful? It was 2010-12. I was at fifth and grape, and a brother brought a lesson on trembling at the word of God. That was a great lesson. And it always stuck in my mind, like, hold on, what does it mean to tremble at the word of God? Brethren, when God met Moses and spoke to him on Mount Horeb, the people were afraid. They trembled when God spoke. We want to have a trembling respect and reception for God's word when it is preached. That means that we need to come and we need to pay attention, hear what is being said, so we can apply it to our lives, be a better people, help one another, and also help the city that we live in to be a better people as well. That's why we're doing this. Number two, what do we want? What do we need from you? We need you to influence your family to come. Acts 10, verse 33, but I want us to look at Acts 16, 12 through 15. Nate, I want you to read Acts chapter 16, 12 through 15. Come across a woman named Lydia and her household. What does the Bible say in Acts chapter 16, 12 through 15?
From there to the Bible, that part of the message of the covenant. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was testimony. We sat down and spoke to the woman. By a certain woman named Lydia, she was a seller of purple from the city of
Thyatira.
Judge me, be faithful to the Lord, not happening as a winter prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination that has been brought to her master.
So, who was there when the gospel was being preached? Lydia and who? Her house. We need all of y'all coming. Men, encourage your families to come. Sisters, encourage your families to come. Children, encourage your families to come. Everybody needs to be encouraging everyone to come. Sunday morning crowd, we're going to be encouraging them. Hey, y'all need to come. You need to come. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to make you a better people. Now, can you imagine this? Look at Acts 10:33. I was going to skip this, but since I got a little time, I'm not going to skip it. But Acts 10:33, now, don't have time to go into the whole context of the story, but Peter was in Joppa, sees this vision. He comes to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius had, well, if I could say it this way, he had the nerve to tell him something. Now, can you imagine if we was to do that with Brother Orr, Brother Alejandro, Brother Bill? Notice what he says here to Peter. So I sent to you immediately, and notice what he says, and you have done well to come. I saw that. I'm like, well, that's good stuff right there. You know what, Bill? It was good for you. You did well coming here. You needed to come here. We need to hear what you had to say. Brother Orr, it was good that you came. We needed to hear what you had to say. Alex, young man, it was good for you to come. You needed to come here. We needed to hear what you had to say. Young people, I'm telling you, when you hear good news, especially news that's going to help you, you ought to tell that person, yo, it was good for you to have been here. We needed to hear what you had to say. Any comments? Let's close with something. Because we need this from y'all, too. We need y'all to consider this gospel meeting important enough to invite at least one person. At least one. Whether they come or not is on them. But you need to see this meeting important enough to at least invite one person. I'm talking about young and old in here. At least one. At least one. Y'all come across people all the time. You see people all the time. Invite one. Whether it is through some type of media, whether it is word of mouth, it doesn't matter. Invite one. Invite one. Number two, and really that should have been number two, sorry. Number one should be, we need you to pray for this. That's really the first thing we need to be doing. We need to be praying for this effort. And I'm talking about specifically and being intentional. Every day we need to be praying for our gospel meeting, praying for our ladies' day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, without ceasing. Look at Colossians 4. Look at the first three verses. Got 10 minutes. Brother Braswell, Colossians chapter 4, the first three verses. There's a phrase in there that I want you to pick up on. No new concept. And this is what we're asking God for even today as we're preparing for our gospel meeting. Colossians chapter 4, the first three verses. What does that say, brother? 1, 2, and 3. Colossians 4.
Master, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond.
Good. What's the phrase you think that I'm trying to capitalize on for us tonight? Not that one. That a what? That a door will be opened. That's why we're inviting. That's why we're praying about this. We want a door to be open. We want an opportunity to be able to talk to someone, to be able to enhance their life, better their life, encourage their life. The only way we can do that, we have to open up our mouths. And we have to say, hey, we're having this meeting. We want you to come. We want you to be part of it. We promise you, it's going to be to your benefit. We promise you that. Why? Because the word of God is going to be preached. Finally, we need to encourage each other. Now, this is going to be a challenge. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. We talk a lot. We talk about a lot of things when we're kind of, you know, chit-chatting here after services, before services. We talk about a lot of things. We do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But can you imagine if we were to talk to each other every now and then before the meeting about the meeting? I'm talking about that's what we're doing amongst each other. Hey, I really want to encourage you to come, man. Hey, I think it's going to be beneficial for us. Actually talking about the meeting itself. Look at Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Martin, I want you to read that. All right, good job. Appreciate that. And really, I want to focus more on verse 24, stirring up one another, talking about the meeting. We talk about a lot of things. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but let's talk about the meeting. Let's talk about what we have coming up. And perhaps those conversations that we're having with one another about what we're about to have as a group together will encourage us, well, when that day comes, I already have this marked on my calendar. I already know where I'm going to be on that Sunday and that Monday, that Tuesday, that Wednesday at 7 o'clock. I know where I'm going to be. I know where my family's going to be. I know where my friend is going to be if he or she accepts the invitation. I know where they're going to be. But if I don't talk about it, or if it's not in the forefront of my mind, or if it's just not important enough for me to have it in the forefront of my mind, I know for a fact that that's not going to take place. So, let's end with this. Who has closing prayer? Who has it? Eric. So, we'll end with this. Hopefully, three things we'll experience because of the Ladies' Day and because of the gospel meeting. Number one, hopefully we'll experience growth through knowledge. Hopefully something will be said that will encourage our knowledge, enhance our knowledge. Brother Leon, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Amen. Anyone else? Appreciate that. We have enough flyers. Just take them. So hopefully we'll experience growth through knowledge. Number two, hopefully we'll experience clarity through truth. Clarity through truth. Truth clarifies things. It clarifies things. Put in your notes 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26 if you're taking notes. And finally, hopefully we'll experience motivation through mercy. Motivation through mercy. Remember when Jesus was talking to that lawyer and he gave the parable and he told that certain lawyer to go and do likewise. Hopefully after the messages, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, hopefully something will be in you that will say, you know what? I need to add that to my faith. I need to encourage myself to go do more for the Lord and for his kingdom. Hopefully, you'll experience that. That's the goal. So we're not just bringing men here. We're not just putting lessons together. This is not something that is haphazard or arbitrary. This is intentional, trying to make our lives better, to be a better people for God, better people for ourselves and our families, better people for the kingdom, better people for the world. And when we do that, God will be glorified, the church will be edified, and the church and the world will be notified that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I believe Brother Ryan has an announcement. And then Brother Eric has closing prayer.